Okay, and at this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Erica from New Mexico. Welcome.
My name is Erica, and I'm an addict. And is that close enough, far enough? I don't know. That's okay. All right. I actually have to take my glasses off so I can't see all of you as individuals, because then I get even more nervous. But I find it still so ridiculous that I'm here. Not only am I like at a World Convention of Narcotics Anonymous, but I'm speaking at one. And it's just still blows my mind. I'm a generally anxious person, so living in the moment is kind of a difficult thing for me, because I'm always like 5 miles ahead or like 5 years in the past, and it's hard to breathe and stay in the moment, especially when I get overwhelmed. And the idea of like the topic is moving forward while staying in the moment, like, that's two very big things put into one. So one, I have to move forward, and two, I have to stay in the moment simultaneously. So I think separately they're both difficult things to do, and but putting them together and being able to do both at the same time is the real task. I'm 21 years old. I got clean when I was 19. When I got the email that they wanted me to speak at the convention, the first 5 minutes I was extremely excited and extremely, surprised and blown away. And then 5 minutes later I was making up excuses as to why it was an accident that they asked me, that they probably meant to ask someone else, and then felt bad, so they didn't tell me that they meant to ask someone else. But that's just where my mind goes. My mind goes where I don't know. This is hard. This is really hard. I'm going to be completely honest. This is ridiculous. And, geez, you guys made it look so easy before me. So I got clean when I was 19. I had these plans, I had these dreams when I was younger, and for some reason, when I got into drugs, all of those dreams went away, and all of that future that I had planned out went away. And I was okay with that, you know? I was okay because I felt good with the drugs, and I was able to be outgoing, and I was able to be a part of, because I was using, and so the fact that I was throwing away all my dreams was okay. When I got into recovery and they told me that I can do those things, you know, that I had planned when I was younger and before I used, and that I could, that lost dreams awaken, I didn't really understand like to what extent that would be. But at the same time, I didn't know how much work it was going to be, because there's a certain amount of growth that happens just by staying clean, but the growth that I've experienced through working the steps and going to meetings and having a sponsor and having sponsees and doing all of that, that's where the real growth has occurred for me. And the idea of staying clean for my whole life is way too big. It's way, way too overwhelming for me to even grasp. So, but I think that I can stay clean for today. And by doing that, I'm able to continue on to the next day. All the things that I wanted to say went right out the window. But I didn't want to plan anything for this. Like, some people kept asking me, like, have you planned out what you're going to say? Do you know, like, what you want to mention? And have you written everything down? And I was like, no. because it seemed kind of opposite to what this topic was. Like, if I wrote out my speech last week, what I would be saying to you wasn't what I'm feeling at this moment. And what I'm feeling at this moment right now is a whole lot of fear. a whole lot of pride. I don't know. Like, I'm really proud that I can be here. That I can talk in front of all of you guys, though I'm, like, crying at the same time. because I'm such a broken, quiet little girl when I came to this program. And one of the last times I spoke, someone was like, you're going to have to stop calling yourself a little girl, Erica. You're kind of like a woman now. And that's ridiculous. That's weird. And it sent me into this whole spin of, like, really? Am I a woman? Like, when are we supposed to start calling us, like, men and women? Like, I still don't feel like it, but it's true. Like, I've done so much growing up in this program, and not only, like, is the process of getting clean, getting and staying and recovering in this program a difficult thing, but growing up is fucking hard, and to add on the fact that, like, I'm doing this clean seems absurd, because drugs made growing up a lot easier. It made it a lot easier and a lot less scary. But I'm not really as scared now of my future or of this life as I was when I came here. I'm actually really excited. And everyone kept saying, like, Erica, you're going to choke. Like, thanks a lot, guys. Because now I feel like I am. I'm just, you know. All I can talk about in this moment is how grateful I am for this program. You know, I don't have any, like, pearls of wisdom that I can think of off the top of my head, but I'm just so grateful that I know quite a few of the people in here, and that they came to support me because I was terrified. Sucks. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. This really sucks.
You're doing
strangers, and I've never felt so much love from, like, a group of people, you know, and it just blows me away that we come to this program as strangers and as individuals, and we can come together and find common ground, and most of you guys have never seen me before, but right now you're my biggest supporters in my program right now. And for that, I thank you. I deal a lot with anxiety and depression in my recovery. I'm a naturally very socially anxious person, so it's pretty amazing to be standing here right now. I'm going to put my glasses back on. There. Hello. Why hello? Now they're fogging up. They're just fogging up right now. Oh. How did I do it? All right. So when I came to this program, I thought that I was too young, that I came from too good of a place, that my family was functional enough, and that I didn't use the drugs that an addict did. And I didn't believe that I was an addict, and I didn't feel like I could get out of this program what some people were able to. And it was really difficult for me at the beginning, and it was really difficult for me to continue on when I felt that I didn't really deserve this, or that it wasn't really for me. I'm so grateful for the third tradition that says that the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using. And I know that a lot of people run into that as well, that the idea that I didn't use like an addict did, or that I didn't use bad enough, or I didn't use long enough. And it's something that I know a lot of the young people run into, is that problem that we're too young. And but I was so done, you know. I don't know if the drugs would have killed me or if I would have just killed myself, but I wouldn't have made it, I don't think. And we recover when we need to recover. We get clean when we need to get clean. And I'm really grateful for that tradition. And I'm really grateful for the people. It's like all I have right now is gratitude. and so in this moment, I'm grateful. So I'm going to talk about that. At my first NA meeting, it was a speaker meeting, and the girl that spoke stood up at a podium like this, and she told her story, and she's sitting in the front row right now, and she was my first sponsor, and I've met some amazing people in this program, and I've just grown so much, you know. I was going to school when I got clean. Was going to school most of the time. I was on my path to become a veterinarian, which was my childhood dream. And by the way, if you have dreams and someone tells you that dream isn't good enough, you have my permission to tell them fuck you, because. because I grew up hearing that my dream wasn't good enough, but in my recovery and in the time that I've grown up in recovery and in my life, I realized that there's nothing more I want to do than pursue my dream. And everybody has different dreams, and they all look different, and we get to them at different points, but it's important to me that I have some goal that I'm headed towards, you know, that I can move forward towards. And when I start forgetting that there are steps to get me to that goal, it's when I start getting caught up and when I start tripping, because I think I can just like jump or just bypass all the little things. And that's where staying in the moment comes in, you know. Recognizing that there are specific steps that we need to get through. And at the end, when I try to get all on topic, it goes wrong. Darn. Jeez, Drew, why did you make me go first? I'm... It's okay. kind of. So I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I love the Southwest. And right now, in Albuquerque, there's a real big problem with our youth and heroin. And I actually got out of it before I got to heroin. But I'm able to be one of the people that those young people can go to when they're ready to stop. And that's an amazing position to hold. I feel honored. I don't know. I've seen a lot of young people come in, and I've seen a lot of people, young people go out. I've seen a lot of young people die. But there are a lot of young people in this meeting who are doing it and who are surviving. And that's fucking amazing. I think they're having a good time over there. So if you're clean today, you inspire me. Somebody yell something.
Yeah!
Yeah! I love you. I love you. All right. So what it was like before, when I was, I remember walking around campus at the university that I go to, and I had left one of my classes early because I was too anxious to stay. And I was just standing there, and for a split second I saw the path that I was going on, you know. I could see that downward spiral, and I could see something else, you know. I didn't really know what it was, but I could see that I didn't really have to do this if I didn't want to. I started going to see a counselor because I was really depressed. I was very broken. I was very sad. It was a big sad face. And I went to my first meeting. And I remember, like, after that meeting, it was just, I just felt like that was it, you know, like that was what was gonna keep me going or get me to that new way of life. At the end of my using, I used alone. I isolated all the time. I would go in a crowd of people and feel completely alone. And even just, like, if I was going to hang out with some high school friends or something and I was high, you know, the fact that I was high and they weren't isolated me, you know. I don't know if that makes sense, but I was in my own little bubble of highness, and nobody was experiencing anything that I was, because, I did a lot of numbing myself. I did a lot of running away from myself, and I don't do that today. There's still, you know, like I said, I still deal with anxiety and depression, and I also deal with an eating disorder that I've been told not enough people talk about. So if you're dealing with that, it's okay. You're not alone. I go to school today, and I do things that I never thought I would be able to. I told you that I want to be a veterinarian. That's what I want to do. One of my goals in life is to work with lions. I will get to do that, you know? I will do that one day. As ridiculous as it sounds, I know for a fact that I will do that. And I can't, like, get caught up in that idea too much because there's a lot of things that I gotta do to get there. You know, when I came into the program, I wanted that happy life. You know, I wanted all of that right now. But everyone reminded me that there were steps that I had to take to get to that place. And those were the 12 steps. And I've been working that. I'm on step 7 right now. Just looking at some defects of character and whatnot. And it's... Ain't it grand? But I'm really grateful for the fact that I get to do that, you know? Like, I get to look at myself in a way that most people don't, you know? And I get to grow in ways that most people don't. That they never have the opportunity to do the things that we get to do. Primarily due to the fact that they haven't gone through the things that we've gone through. And I forgot where I was. what time is it? Oh, I'm close. That's awesome. Oh, goodness. Well, they make it look so easy, and I think just because it's, like, the world convention. I kept joking around to people saying, like, well, I got to speak at the world convention, so I can't use until at least afterwards. Because if I did, I would let the whole world down, so... So if anything, it's kept me clean. I turned 21 in this program, and a show of hands, who else in here has turned 21 in the program? And I think that's awesome. I'm as like horrifying as this has been. It's been a great honor to stand up here and cry and feel awkward in front of you. I'm just grateful. And I cry when I'm grateful. So I've cried a lot today because it's because I'm grateful and because I'm terrified, but oh well. I can be done, she says. I can be done.
And I want to let you know that speaking is one of the most fearful things that we can do for everybody. I finally did a speech class this last semester, and before that, I wouldn't be up here either. So congratulations for staying the whole time. One more. Okay, now I'd like to welcome Drew. And Drew is from New York. Woo!
My name is Drew, and I'm an addict. I'm also really tall. Is the mic too far away from me? Can you guys hear me? Okay. Closer? No, it's okay. Cool. Thank you for sharing. It never ceases to amaze me to the ability to come into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and hear my story. And I'm fucking scared shitless too. And you know, I want to do a really good job. I'm also a crier. I love Narcotics Anonymous. NA gave me a home, a place to grow up, a safe place. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. And, you know, I just want to be able to give back. And I've had a spiritual awakening, and it's like, I feel so cliche saying that. You know, like, I've turned into one of those people that I kind of laughed at when I first came to these rooms. And, like the happy, joyous, and free people, when secretly, like, I saw those people in meetings, I was like, wow, he's so peaceful. How do I get that? And I was way too scared to fucking approach him and ask for that, because I didn't think that I deserved anything like that kind of joy. And if for one second you believe that you're not good enough, I'm here to tell you you're wrong. Each of us has within us that spark, that thing that got you here, that thing that got me here, you know, that's thriving, that's growing, that is changing. By working the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, it blossoms. And I've experienced that. And I'm so grateful. You know, the topic for this meeting is moving forward while staying in the moment. And that just sounds really, really broad. And kind of like the end goal. Right? Like, I could never be in the moment before. I was way too caught up in the past or the future. You know, I can't count the number of times that people handed me the pamphlet Triangle of Self-Obsession. I think there's probably like 50 in a drawer back home. And moving forward, what is that? Well, moving is an action, right? And I learn to take action here while being. And that's the end goal. That's what we learn. We learn to take action and to be. And there's so much freedom in that. I came into Narcotics Anonymous just wanting to stop using. I just wanted to not have to use drugs anymore. And I just wanted to not have to use a particular drug anymore. You know? I found my first, you know, I found my first meeting when I was 19. You know, let me step back a little bit further. Can I ask everyone to close their eyes for a second? Just for a minute. Just close your eyes and remember the hopelessness, that feeling of utter despair, the feeling like you just don't know how to stop using. That was the feeling that I connected with when I came to Narcotics Anonymous. It's that what I identified with. It's those feelings behind the reasons that got us here. That's what we identify with. It's not, for me, it wasn't the age. It wasn't the men. It wasn't the women. It wasn't the people. It was the feelings that I heard expressed in our meetings. You can open your eyes now. We're past that. So I went to my first meeting. Oh, wait, still not there. I really believed that I would never be able to stop using. And I didn't want to live like that anymore. I begged my parents to put me into treatment. Broke down to them at the kitchen table. And they said no. I'm really grateful that they didn't. Because I wouldn't have been on the path that that have got me here today. A couple weeks later, after using, tried to kill myself. You know, ended up in the hospital. Blah blah blah. I left that hospital with a meeting list for NA in Denver. I got clean in Denver. Is anyone from Denver here? Yeah. So I went to a meeting. Unfortunately, I found it was a meeting of another fellowship. And I say unfortunately because I didn't identify with anyone there. And I didn't hear a message. But I knew that the 12 steps were a viable source of recovery. I knew, you know, that NA and the 12 steps worked. I'd seen it work in some of my family's life. And so I went to another meeting. I went to an LGBT meeting. I'm gay. I've never shared that from the podium. And I've actually never shared from the podium before, so that was really easy. So I went to an LGBT meeting, and everyone tried to hug me, and that scared the shit out of me. These people were fucking weird. And they just weren't cute, so I left. And I went to another meeting. I found a meeting that met at 10:30 at night. It was a candlelight meeting called Blues Breakers. You could smoke in meetings back then still. And this is when I still smoked. And without the lights on, I was able to listen to the message of recovery. I was so caught up in looks and image and separation and ways to keep myself feeling terminally unique that I needed that darkness to be able to find recovery. And I'm really grateful that I did. And so I started going to meetings. And everything I learned in the first 90 days of my recovery has kept me clean for 8.5 years. I started working with a sponsor Chuck S., who recently passed away. I've buried two sponsors in this program, and it's a very difficult process, and one that is just a part of life. And again, thank you, N.A., for being my rock, being my home, being my safe place to allow me to come to meetings and share the pain that I'm going through and feel the empathy and the safety and the love of the fellowship and keep me safe and keep me from using. Chuck taught me, reintroduced to me the idea that I was lovable. I honestly believed when I came in here that I was less than the shit on the bottom of my shoe. You know, that I just had no right to breathe the same air as the person next to me. Thank God for the 12 steps. You know, and I did a 1, 2, and 3 with Chuck. And a 4. And a 5. I started a 5, and then I moved. I moved to L.A. to pursue a childhood dream of becoming a dancer. I moved to the Hollywood area of Narcotics Anonymous. Anyone from Hollywood? And I went through a lot with Hollywood N.A. You know, when I got to L.A., I was busy in school. I had to work to support myself full time. I was busy 75, 80 hours a week, and my meeting attendance suffered. I lived in a pretty miserable space. I wasn't able to connect with the fellowship like I needed to, but I stayed clean. I went to meetings when I could. And I found a new sponsor. I had one sponsor, and he didn't work out really well. He's in the room. We're really close friends today, and without his love and support, I don't know where I'd be today. But a sponsorship relationship at that point in time was not right. So I found another sponsor, Ray. And I worked a 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 with Ray. And at 6, Ray passed away. Thank you, N.A. You know, the entire fellowship of Hollywood really suffered a loss, and to watch addicts come together and to support each other is one of the most amazing things about this fellowship. You know, the way that we love each other when we can't love ourselves, you know, that was one thing that was given to me when I walked in and promised to me. We will love you until you learn how to love yourself. That has never ceased to be true. Watching this room full of young addicts applaud another addict and support them fucking floors me, blows me away, you know? So I'm at 6 and my sponsor dies. I'm living my dream in Hollywood, being a dancer and trying to support myself and working, trying to be an adult. You know, I ended up leaving the country. I went to Japan for a couple contracts. And there was one English-speaking meeting there a week. And my willingness to go to other meetings, to go to meetings that maybe weren't in my language, was non-existent. And, you know, it talks about, in Just for Today, the how of the program, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And when one of these is lacking, our program begins to lack. You know, we start to suffer. I've experienced that firsthand. But I didn't use. I didn't pick up. I knew that picking up was not the answer. I'd seen people in these rooms stay clean through amazing things. And the idea of drugs possibly solving my life's problems just didn't cut it any longer. I came back from Japan with a new sponsor, a sponsor that I had gotten clean a little bit before me in Colorado. And he was a really close friend of mine, and we began a long-distance sponsorship relationship. And he has taught me the amazing rewards of this program. You know, I began another set of steps with him. You know, I was joking around before I got up here. I was like, okay, I have 30 minutes. That gives me 3 minutes to intro, 2 minutes per step, and then 3 minutes to close. Everything that we planned running out the door, right? So, you know, working the steps with my current sponsor has been completely life-changing, like I said. And I'm just so grateful. I came back and I lived in LA for a little while longer, and then I booked a cruise ship, and I was able to travel the world, traveling around Australia and New Zealand, while dancing on a cruise ship, living my dream, and staying clean. I went to a meeting in New Zealand, which was amazing. I went to one meeting in 9 months. It's not something I would ever recommend to anybody. I went to that. And you know, I want to speed this up because recently in my life there's been a lot of freedom, and I want to talk about that. The experience on the cruise ship was amazing. I had the time of my life. I got off when things stopped being new and shiny. New and shiny was very attractive to me for a very long time. Still is. I like shiny. I'm kind of a silly dork, too, and I'm totally okay with that these days. So I got off the ship, and I didn't handle things with them very well, and you know, whatever. I'll make amends when I need to. Actually, you know, I've worked an 8 and 9, and they did not come up on my amends list. Maybe on a later list. So I went back to Japan with the idea that I knew what I needed to do in order to stay clean. I knew I had to get to that meeting once a week, and I was going to be okay. And it started off great, and then I got into a relationship. Yeah. Relationships. I was in that relationship for about 5 months, 5-6 months, broke up, Got into another relationship about a month later, and after 2.5 months, we broke up, and I was totally and completely devastated, and I felt pain like I hadn't felt since I got clean, and I didn't understand why, and I wouldn't understand why for a whole nother year, which sucked. So I came home from Japan. With the idea that I was going to move to New York City. Is New York City here? I'm really grateful for the opportunity to have been a part of 4 different fellowships in my recovery. And that opportunity has provided me with the realization. You know, like I said, everything I need to stay clean, I learned in my first 90 days. You know, every time I move to a new area, I am a newcomer again. I have to reach out. I have to make meetings. I have to get phone numbers. I have to call people. I have to call people that are living in my new area. Because if I call people that are living in my old area, it's great to catch up with them, but it's really hard to keep them current with my life. It's hard for them to call me on my shit. You know, I moved to New York City in the end of December, and it has been one of the most rewarding choices of my life. I was working on a 8-step, I believe, and in a 9-step, and 10, 11, I've just, I'm on a 12 right now. And, you know, I'm also scared to share that it's taken me 8.5 years to get through 12 steps, but it's been a process. People told me when I first got here that it's not a race. And I'm so grateful for that, you know. Taking my time in those steps allowed me to learn the principles within them and practice living them in my life, which is what the 12 steps are all about, you know. Yeah. Okay. So I'm in New York City. I'm running around trying to be a dancer, trying to be a newcomer in recovery. I got a job. I got a job working in a bar, bartending, which seemed like a great idea. I can't wait to leave that job. The realization, the awareness that I was a chicken running around with my head cut off came to me after about a month, and I realized that I needed to shore up my foundations. I needed to remember where my home was. I needed to remember where I go for my support. I needed to remember the basics. I made a commitment to go to 30 meetings in 30 days to practice the willingness of the newcomer and get phone numbers and call people and deepen my surrender to the program of NA. Every time that I surrender to this program, the resulting freedom is amazing. It's the direct correlation between how willing I am to make this program the priority, not a, the priority of my life, has led me to places that I never dreamed of, that I never thought possible, that, you know, I heard people talk about and I thought they were fucking crazy. So I deepened my surrender, and I've been living the dream of Narcotics Anonymous. I've recently, you know, talked about being on 12, working an 11th step. I was very unsatisfied with how my life was going. Where my dance career was going, where my everything was going, you know? And I started to seek God's will. And I needed to know that it was okay to let go of a dream and to find another one. You know, I feel like I'm all under a lot of pressure. And I think that that's probably something a lot of people in this room can identify with, especially being young in NA. There was always a lot of pressure to grow up and to work the steps and to do a really good job. And the source of most of that pressure was myself. You know? I thought, you know, that if I just worked my steps hard enough, if I just went to enough meetings, if I just, you know, if I just did something right, then everything would be okay. The problem was, when I first came here, is that I didn't have any idea about a word that I still cringe at called responsibility. And it says in the literature that... you know, we are no longer responsible for a disease, but we are responsible for our recovery. And I didn't know what that meant. It meant, today I know what it means. The process of coming to discover that was long, and... one that I'm grateful for. I'm jumping around a lot, and I apologize. I was unable to take action to the degree that I wanted to, because I stood in my own way. Little did I know that by simply coming to meetings, I was taking an action. We learn how to live better here. You know, my sponsor always tells me that I can't think my way to better living. I have to live my way to better thinking. And the process of the steps is what has taught me that, you know? Making the admission in one and being left with that hole, that feeling of total despair, you know, that surrender. It talks about the void in the literature. Has been so great. Realizing that I am not in charge, and I do not know a fucking thing about how to live. You know, I talked about relationships earlier, and what's going on with me today? I'm confronting an aspect of my disease today that is so deeply ingrained with who I thought I was. It began to rip me apart, you know, and it's all the same thing. It's all the disease of addiction, and it works out in why it talks about in the first step. Anytime we try to use anything to change how we feel, we need to apply the principles of the first step. I sought a higher power, a better feeling. I sought a solution in relationships, and I sought it in, you know, first it was drugs, and relationships, and sex, and money, and food, and whatever. It's all the disease. What I've learned, and one of the reasons that I'm so grateful for Narcotics Anonymous, is that I can apply these principles to any area that I might be suffering in. To make the admission that I don't have a fucking clue how to have a loving, caring relationship in my life floored me. Coming to believe that there was a power, something bigger than myself that might have an idea of what that is freeing. Making a decision, taking action, and turning my will and my life over to the care of that higher power. Has led me here, has led me to be able to walk around free. I could never get out of my fucking head before, you know? I just wanted the voices to stop. I'll never forget, I was like driving in Denver one time, and I realized that they had stopped. And I was, you know, wow, oh my God. And then they started up again. But I knew that that was connected with my attendance and my work in Narcotics Anonymous in this program. I'm so grateful. It's 4:45. Yeah. Thank you. You know, I wanted to come up here and save the whole convention and plan out, you know, all of these great things to say. But in the end, all I have is my story. And in the end, that's all that we need, you know. It's one addict helping another. Hopefully there's someone in this room that has heard something that will help them stay clean another day. You know, I can't express to you. I wish that I could, in words, the feeling that I get when I get to share with another addict one-on-one.
when I see the hope in another addict that they can stay clean today and maybe tomorrow, the freedom that I've experienced over the past few months from 11 and 12 is amazing. And it's by working these steps. And if it takes you 8 years, that's fine. If it takes you 12, that's okay too. A step a year, I don't think that's so bad. I love Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm just filled with gratitude for my recovery. So thank you for my recovery, family. I'll keep coming back.
I'm shorter, so I'm going to put it down here. And let's thank Drew for speaking. Yay. Okay, and is Ryan out there somewhere? He's going to read We Do Recover.
Yay.
I'm Ryan. I'm an addict from the Bay Area. We do recover. When at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, what is there left to do? Oh, wait. Either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.